You're listening to the Morning Brew with Stu Podcast, and here's your host, Stuart Brooking.
And here we go. Welcome to the Morning Brew with Stu. As always, I'm your host, Stuart Brooking. I know I said on Twitter we were going to have one show every day this week. Not quite. We've had three this week. Jeff Hunt joins me again. He's back. This time, though, instead of some fun shows like we did with Jay Stevens on Monday and like we did with Jeff on Tuesday, today we're going to preview the Super Bowl. We're just going to break it down, look at the two teams, kind of talk about it, make our picks as to who we think is going to win and all that stuff. I think for me, I love this. I love doing this stuff. I think for draft week, I might do some fun stuff too. We might do some fun drafts, different types of stuff. So, but because I like doing the stuff on those big weeks. But Jeff, welcome back, dude. Super week, man. Super Bowl week. We're going to break down the game, Jeff. But I want to say this. On your podcast you did with Mo, or maybe it was the OG3 podcast,
the you OG3 talked about, probably.
You asked Mo if he watches the Super Bowl. Or the like pregame shows that lead up to the Super Bowl. You said you're not typically that guy. For me, I do. I watch all the stuff from like 9 a.m. And then my wife's like, can we watch the Puppy Bowl? So I watch a little bit of the Puppy Bowl for a couple hours.
Nice.
And then went right back, dude, to breaking it all down. I don't think that surprises you because you know me and you know how much I love this this stuff. And I consume it all. But I tell you what, Jeff. I was a little shocked to hear that you actually don't watch all that stuff leading up to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. And it's not one of these things to where I think that like, oh, they don't know what they're talking about. I'm smarter than them. I mean, I'm smarter than a lot of them, but not as much as some of them. It's just that it's something about it, about that day. Like I'll get up and like, by me not watching all that, then when it kicks off, like we usually go to a party at my friend's house, who's a football nut, same guy I watched the national championship with. And I know we're going to dig into the football of it and the game of it and every storyline of it for 4 hours. I kind of just like let it build and then let it kind of wash over me like a surprise. Like, you know, like going to a movie. It's like when the next Batman movie comes out. Like when you get there and you sit in your seat and you're settled in and then all of a sudden it comes on, you're like, whoa, let it wash over.
You just enjoy the ride.
Enjoy the ride. You know, I'll go in and out, but typically that day, depending on weather, you know, I'll do some other stuff or I'll watch it. I used to love, I like watching NBA up until, you know, the Super Bowl. I don't know if they do that quite as much anymore, but yeah, I almost distract myself on purpose and then boom. I just let it wash over me. Now, leading up to it, every night I'll watch something, and I try to tune in to shows that are more like kind of like what we're going to talk about, more breaking it down and stuff. I don't need to hear one more. I'm not against the storylines, but I don't need to hear one more. And I think I'm sort of like you. Like I'm so inundated with it all year that like a lot of people are catching up and they don't watch all season like we do. So this game, like they watch for 4 hours and they're catching up on the storylines of the years and the Kelce Swift saga, all this stuff is to where we're like, yeah, we know what you're going to say. It's not this to me. Like a lot of the Super Bowl isn't for like guys like us until it's game time. And then it's like, I don't need to hear the commentators. I don't need to see halftime. During commercials, I'm tweeting about what just happened. The progression of the game, like I watch the game on the field, and that's not saying that's right, wrong. That's just how Jeff does it.
Yeah. You know, I'm usually me and my wife will host a couple friends. Like there'll be another couple over or whatever. Last year it was my best friend and his girlfriend at the time, now wife. And then the year before that,
congratulations.
The year before that, it was her best friend and now her fiance. But we're doing something a little different this year, Jeff. I'm going to give it a try. My wife, I give it a try. Her aunt is hosting a Super Bowl party.
Oh, boy.
And we're going. I'll do it one time. We'll do it one time, see how it goes. But I'm not, because I told my wife this from the minute we started dating. Like I said, not the minute, but when the topic came around for the Super
Bowl. I'm a psychopath.
I like to be with people who watch the game. Like, I don't care what Usher's doing at halftime. I don't care if the Budweiser Clydesdales are tramping down some
I love it.
alleyway
I knew
in
it.
New York City. I don't care. What I care about what happens between that 52
yep.
yard, 52 and a half yard sideline to sideline field and 110 yards long field. What happens there is what I care about. So we'll see how it goes. Because the
so
first
I'm
time
just,
I get stuck, first time I get stuck with an Usher conversation, I'm gonna be
just,
like, no more of this.
I'm just curious at this party. Like, I don't know what kind of crowd is it. Will you be known as the football guy?
There are maybe two of us that will be a
okay.
football
also,
guy.
Also, here's the thing. Look at it this way. There's somebody, whoever this is going to be so glad you were there. And you guys are just going to, you
there.
Guys are just going to, you guys are going to dig. You're nobody's even going to know you two are there. Like, you are going to dig in. And as long as nobody says, I just like the commercials, you're good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like
that's,
it.
That's
we're on the same page.
That's where I'm at. I don't do big parties. I went to one a while ago. I promise, guys, we'll get to the breakdown of this game, but this is something I kind of wanted to talk about real quick. But I went to my best
I
friend.
Love it.
His dad's a preacher, and his church had a youth group one time. And this is how I would do it. This is how I would do it, Jeff, if I ever held a Super Bowl party. It was the Falcons Patriots Super Bowl.
Ooh.
And in a big room, he had a big screen, almost like a movie theater.
Uh-huh.
And in another room, he had like a smaller version of TV.
For maniacs.
Us people who cared about the games were in there watching on the big TV. We were in there in the theater. Everyone else who cared about whoever the halftime show was or the commercials, they were in there chatting up, catching up like they hadn't seen each other. I don't care. That's how I would do it if we ever host a party, because I can't do it.
I'm with
and
you,
I
man.
Can't, also can't do it if the Colts. I told my wife, I said, listen, maybe like our closest friends, but like we're not hosting some big party if the Colts ever in the Super Bowl. I don't want people to see me in that way. I don't want people to see me that
it's,
way.
It's rough.
I will be a emotional mess. And the first time somebody says the Colts suck, I might go to jail because I might pin it in the face. I'm just saying.
Hey, two peas in a pod, man. Hey, believe me, we don't throw high state parties. I don't care who they're playing. You know what? I'm gonna segue for you into this year's game. That's why, like, that seems to be two camps on this game. The I don't care. They act like these two teams have played the last five Super Bowls and they do not care about this game and they don't find it interesting. And the people like me and you who are like, to me, this is a rare matchup in the Super Bowl to where I believe like we probably have the two best teams in football, all around teams in football, playing at the right time, really healthy. This is actually to me, this is a 58th Super Bowl. I think this is a top 10 matchup on paper. So I am super interested.
I'm
and
stoked
these teams
too because I like the storyline. My favorite storyline about this, I think it's probably sixth or seventh down on every TV show's rundown, which is the Mahomes legacy that goes into this game. And we'll talk about it a little bit later on, but that's buried below Taylor Swift and Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan and all this stuff. It's so far buried below there that it may be in the third hour that someone finally talks about what this could mean for Patrick Mahomes' legacy. And I think for me, I think this could be a legacy-defining Super Bowl for him.
Yeah, we talked about that. We talked about that on the OG3. Everybody go to the Off Ball Network, podcast and check that out. But we brought up the same thing. It's like if you're, a historian of the game, you understand that this is a legendary chance for Patrick Mahomes to stamp his name on the all-time sports figures, list. This is how you get into the champagne room of the Hall of Fame with Montana, with Brady, with these legends that even the legends know are like, man, we're legends, but that's one of the dudes. And if anything, a quick Brock Purdy storyline that I like, I'm not worried about, we've talked about it. I'm not worried about when he got picked. I'm not worried about anything else other than like, in a vacuum, Brock Purdy has had a fantastic NFL season. He's got his team to the Super Bowl. So, like, let's say, let's just imagine his name is Trevor Lawrence. We would be flipping out over the chance for this guy to start his career as good as he has with San Francisco and have a chance to win a Super Bowl in his second season. And every statistical category, he's been better than Mahomes this year. Statistically, we understand the difference. But what I'm saying is, like, in a vacuum, if I say there's a QB in this game that had the best season of anybody, it was an MVP candidate, it's only his second year, and he's got a chance to win the Super Bowl, people would be flipping out. But for some reason, actually, I think the seventh, the last pick in the draft thing hurts what people have, like, they just refuse to see it. I'm like, no, watch it in a vacuum. This kid has done everything. This kid has been great this season.
I'll go out on a limb, Jeff, and this will sound crazy, I know. But I will say Tom Brady had to fight the sixth round draft thing.
Long time.
Until he went to Tampa Bay. And you can say, well, Stuart, he's already won six Super Bowls by then.
Yep.
But everything you heard was it's because of Belichick. He won't do it without Belichick. Are you kidding? Tom won't do it without Belichick. No one would have said that about Peyton. No one ever said that. When Peyton went to Denver, it was like, oh, yeah, he's going to win one. Peyton was also the number one overall pick in the draft.
Yep.
It took Tom to leave Bill Belichick and go win one with Bruce Arians and this Tampa Bay Buccaneers squad for everybody to be like,
yep,
what else? We can't say anything else.
That's a great pick, man. That's how I see it, too.
So that's how it was for Brady. I mean, he fought it the majority of his career up until the final two or three seasons, yep. I feel like. So let's get into it.
Let's
break this game down. Chiefs, 49ers, a rematch from 4 years ago, but not really.
It's a pretty good – here's what I do like another thing about this. I know it's not back-to-back years. Pretty good rematch is considering the turnover in the NFL.
Yeah.
So real key figures, you know, with a lot of memory. So I love that about this game. This isn't like just the team names.
Let's talk about this first of all, the quarterback matchup. Obviously, we think Patrick Mahomes is the better quarterback. We already said that. We talked about it. What's interesting to me is this, Jeff, and this is what really kind of pisses me off a little bit. And as a guy who loves the quarterback position and studies the quarterback position, I'm going to go on a bit of a high horse for a minute. I was watching a TikTok this morning, and I got to be careful because I know it's TikTok and all this kind of stuff, but it was of an actual sports radio show, and I can't remember the name of it. But the guy said that Mahomes has actually been kind of a game manager through the playoffs. And we talk about this, Jeff. Me and you talk about this when we do the quarterback rankings. A guy we would consider a game manager would be a guy a lot like a Gardner Minshew or those types of things. And the reason we say that, Jeff, and we talk about this all the time, is the guys who have it in them have to make one or two throws a game that separate them from just your average Joe, right? And that's where Mahomes, well, yes, the numbers haven't been great, or he hasn't done a whole lot, or hasn't dove in sideways and thrown the ball with his left hand or whatever crazy thing you want him to do. He's made the one or two throws that beat Josh Allen. He's made the one or two throws that beat Lamar Jackson. And guess who else does stuff like that? Joe Montana, John Elway, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady. Even when they don't have their greatest games, they make the one or two throws. So while this hasn't been the best season for Mahomes, I think that's been good for him, because the fact that it hasn't been his best season, you're still playing at the end of the year, shows how great you are.
And in these playoffs, he's ended the last two games with big throws that only he can make. And if you watch the first drive of the Baltimore game, he threw, or maybe it was within the first two drives, the first touchdown was as good a throw as you can throw, knowing the situation, knowing your receiver, perfect coverage by Kyle Hamilton. He threw it to where not only he only place he could throw it, but where he knew his guy could catch it. Just unreal. Touchdown that really ends the game. Like, as soon as we all see that touchdown, we're like, oh, this is over. And then he also makes the fourth down play with Kelsey. It's fourth and three. He throws it literally where only not just his guy can catch it, but the specific guy can catch it, the specific height, the specific route, everything. Yeah. I mean, he throws it over and behind a defensive back, you know, maybe 10 yards downfield to Kelsey's hands, just the things like that, that he does that ends games. And then he throws the big one to Scaling in two games to end the game. You know what I mean? Deep balls, you know, he has the confidence, and he knows that, you know, let's admit it, these receivers aren't great for Kansas City. You'll probably touch on that, but he throws it to where, like, I know this is where this guy can catch this ball. That is the magic of Mahomes, is again, I can't help but compare him to NBA players as far as he's like LeBron James. The reason LeBron James is one of the best passers in history is because he studies and knows where each player likes to catch and shoot, which increases their odds of making the basket and so on and so on. They talked about him when he was with the Cleveland Cavaliers, how good he was at like each player knowing exactly where they like to catch the ball to be comfortable. Mahomes knows where he can throw it to each of these receivers, and it, but he is not scared to do it and can do it in any moment of the game. It's such a gift. And then he can just tough it out like he did Miami in the cold. Like that game, he's like, I just got to tough this out, and he did it. Like everybody laughs about the cracked helmet. Like that ain't an accident. You know what I mean? Like it's just – It's what he can. It's not only what he's able to do with his skill. He can do it at any moment of the game, and you cannot. It's the absolute scariest thing as a defense is to be like, this guy can do this. They'll throw at any moment on any down in any situation. This guy can make plays, and Mahomes has done it. And he's had 5 touchdowns, and you know, a couple hundred yards a game, and a tough postseason. Weather's been crappy every game he's played in. He's played 3, tough teams, and he's went through them all. Like, I think he's actually had a really good postseason.
Yeah, I agree. And then on the other side, you got a guy in Brock Purdy, who for me, and I know this sounds weird, and I love Patrick Mahomes, and I love Aaron Rodgers, and you've heard me for years talk about how much I love those two guys, Jeff. But for me, if I had to – mold the perfect quarterback, it's the Brock Purdy type.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is he plays a lot like, I'm not saying he's as good as this guy, but he plays esque like this guy. He plays a lot like Joe Burrow.
I knew he was going to say Burrow. I agree.
He will move out of the pocket, but he's not looking to run. Like, you know it if you watch Burrow play. Like, that's different than Mahomes. And Mahomes moves, and I understand he isn't looking to run, but, like, it's different. Like, he's not going to run around, do a 360 circle, then do a 180, and then throw behind his back 70 yards for a touchdown. Burrow's going to roll out maybe 5 yards, maybe take one step back and launch that baby 50 yards down the field to Jamar Chase. You're going to get the same thing out of Brock Purdy. And that's how if I had to mold the perfect quarterback, that's how I would make it. This narrative that he's a game manager, talked about it. He's not a game manager. We're going to find out exactly where I have him in my rankings later on this year. And I can tell you it's going to be higher than 99% of the people have him. I tell you that much right now. But I will tell you this. A game manager is Jimmy Garoppolo. He's making throws right now that Jimmy Garoppolo didn't make in that first run that they made to the Super Bowl. He's doing things, and you're saying this guy's different. Like, if Jimmy Garoppolo trailed the Jordan Love Packers the way that Brock Purdy did, there's no coming back from it. But Purdy has that dog in him, and he has that thing in him where it's like, he's the coolest guy. He's your buddy. You want to hang out with him. The chicks love him. But on the field, dude, he's the meanest guy on the field. And he plays like it, and he'll take your heart out, and he'll crush your heart as he continues to make throws. And that's what I love about a guy like Brock Purdy. And I think he's underrated, like we talked about at the beginning of the show, because of where he's drafted.
Yeah, absolutely. I will admit, and this isn't because of his talent level or anything, it's because he's young. Yes, when he has some down times, he looks like an average quarterback.
Yeah.
But again, there's nothing wrong with your second season every now and then being like, I'm a little flustered. I'm going to lean on my team. You know what I mean? Like that's actually being a smart quarterback and getting the win. Because he's a guy that has to learn, but also get the wins. Like he can't lose. That's a tough spot to be in, and he's done it. What I like about Purdy, and I have this conversation all the time, like, game manager. Everybody thinks that because they see San Francisco's offense, and they use so many like crossing patterns in the middle of the field and a lot of motion. So it feels like it's a dink and dunk offense. Brock Purdy was top of the league in air yards attempted and air yards completed all season, way above Mahomes, by the way, which, Mahomes is because of the lack of receivers. Purdy's, yards downfield were great. His efficiency numbers are off the chart, like yards per attempt, all these things. Like, You know, yes, we've said it a million times, Stuart. Every quarterback's a system quarterback. And if a guy can run your system excellent, that makes him a really good quarterback. But I just keep going on like, no, and this guy gets it downfield. I don't like, you know, there's really not a lot of downside. And when he's playing good, like he did the second half the last 2 weeks, man, he looks great. I know a lot of it's a look like he just, I mean, I think he's 22 or 23. He's not a very old guy. A lot of it's just he kind of looks that quote unquote baby faced. And so it's like, you know, this guy's this, and he doesn't look like Josh Allen. So therefore we don't give him the credit of being like, oh, he's out there trying to, you know, he doesn't got that Lamar Jackson look to him. Like Lamar Jackson's MVP year, his first MVP year, we were like, oh, this is just, and it's strictly because of facial expressions and look and haircut and all that. Purdy,
he doesn't do anything like the thing is, he doesn't do anything special. He's just really, really good at what he does.
I would say if probably the best thing that I see him do is, and this for lack of a better term, just accuracy. He hits a lot of like, if you know, if his guy does, you know, if Ayuk or you know, Samuel or whatever does their job right, he usually rewards them. You know what I mean? He doesn't overthrow him or underthrow him. Like he takes advantage of, and he's done that the last 2 weeks. He's won these games because of a few big throws. And again, you brought it up with Mahomes. We said it all summer. The difference in these guys are, can you make the two or three big throws? We literally, Brock Purdy has proved me and you right so much that it's two or three throws a game that if they connect, like for instance, Lamar Jackson missed a couple of those and he's not in the Super Bowl. Like that's just the truth of it. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm not, it's like all credit to Purdy for like when the chips were down, I mean, the dude connected on big throws. Now here, we all know this too. The IU catch, if that doesn't hit the defender, they probably aren't in the Super Bowl. Guess what? It happened. I don't know what to say. Yeah. It happened. IU's a baller. Sometimes your players are good, real good.
I want to say this. And I said this with Chris LeBron when we talked about the Packers and Jordan Love after that playoffs. I'm going to say it again, Jeff, because I'm tired of it and it drives me nuts, dude. I'm done, Jeff, with unqualified people making qualified statements. I'm done with it. And anybody listening can say, well, Stuart, what makes you a qualified person? Good. Good question. All I have to say is look at my hit record. That's all I got to say. I talk about my misses a lot more than I do my hits. But I've hit pretty well too. I've hit just about as well as I've missed.
I'm good at hitting on the misses, not as much as hitting on the hits. My misses, I nail. Like,
me too.
But, I try to tell everybody McCorkle.
Look at my hit. Like I'm like people saying this is the worst era for quarterbacks ever.
Oh,
let me say this: when I grew up, I watched Tom Brady, legend; Peyton Manning, legend.
Yeah.
I watched Brett Favre play, legend. Aaron Rodgers, young Aaron Rodgers, legend. My point is this. Once you get out of Brady, Rivers, Manning, other Manning, Big Ben Roethlisberger, once you start getting down from those top 10 guys, you know who top 15 was in the mid-2000s? J.P. Lossman, Trent Edwards. You had guys like you had guys who were barely David Garrard. Like you had guys who were barely – guess what? The 15 through 25 in today's game will walk circles.
Chad Pennington was considered a really good quarterback. Mark Sanchez was considered a good quarterback.
15 through 25 today will walk circles around 15 through 25 10 years ago, 12 years ago. So let's shut up with all this dumb quarterback plays at the worst because you don't like the way they hold onto a football or anything. Like, what? And I say all that, and I'm going to circle back to this. I say all that to say this game manager stuff is dumb because what Peyton did so well, what Tom Brady did so well, was they recognized something at the line of scrimmage. And I said this with Jordan Love, and we'll talk about Jordan Love again when we do the quarterback countdown. But Brock Purdy does – what he does so well is he says, there's eight guys in the box. Or, man, is that safety creeping down? He might creep down. I saw this look on film. I know Coach said we should do a deep throw over to Kittle. I'm going to change this. I'm going to get the ball to McCaffrey, and McCaffrey breaks a run for 35 yards. Where he says, man, that safety keeps creeping up here, single high. We got two go routes on the outside. I know Coach called a run, but let's go with the go routes and then throws a deep ball to whoever. Like, that's the part that you can't see if you don't know football. Like, if you don't understand football, you don't see that part. And then that's the part of you where you're like, well, the guy was open by 20 yards. Yeah, but it was a designed inside zone run to Christian McCaffrey. So those are the things, Jeff, and I get so angry because we discredit guys like Brock Purdy when they do stuff at the line of scrimmage like that.
You can't game manage for 30 touchdowns and, you know, 4,000 yards and all that stuff like Purdy did. And game managers, what they like, the best way to tell that is like, A, you know, they're not that good. And B, they punt a lot. They get sacked a lot. They throw a lot of dumb incompletions / interceptions because they're just doing, you know, whatever, like you said, they're not adjusting to the play. They're not adjusting to the defense. They get out schemed. You know what I mean? Like, they always look like they're behind the sticks. You know, that's what game it, that I'm talking on a daily basis. Any quarterback, Purdy looked terrible against the Ravens.
Go watch Jimmy G play football.
Yeah. Jimmy G's right there. So Purdy deserves all the credit. Like again, I watch it in a vacuum. I'm like, here's the thing. The good thing is I had no opinion on Purdy. I think I watched him play one time in college. I literally didn't know anything about the kid when he got drafted. So I had no reason to be like I've seen a lot of guys play that I'm like, this guy's going to be terrible. You know what I mean? Like Kenny Pickett. I'm like, no, that's not an NFL quarterback. Like I can tell you right now, J.J. McCarthy, not an NFL quarterback. Just write it down right now. I don't care. You know, 6 foot, 200 pounds. That ain't it. That ain't the future. I'm just whatever. Johnny Manziel. It was obvious as can be. Well, Purdy, I never got to watch, so I didn't have an opinion.
I may have you on come draft time. After the Super Bowl, I'm going to talk about each of my positional rankings. So the first one I'm going to do will be my quarterback rankings. I think we'll have a little chat about it. I think I might have you back on to talk quarterbacks.
But my point is I didn't have any opinion on Purdy, so I am watching it as here's a guy on the field, and he looks awesome. I don't know what the difference between Purdy and Hurts is, except for Hurts is a year older.
And Hurts like can next run year, everybody.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things. Is like, you know, just forget about everything before. Like this kid's done nothing but play great for 2 years.
Yeah. And then we'll move on now. There's so much more I could say about Patrick Mahomes and Brock Purdy, but we'll just leave it there. The running backs, I think we all know, as much as I love Isaiah Pacheco, this ain't even a conversation. McCaffrey is the better running back, so we'll skip there. What I like, Jeff, and we'll talk about receiver here in a minute, obviously the storyline around Travis Kelce is the whole Taylor Swift thing, but for me, what I love about this, Jeff, is you got two of the top tight ends in the last 10 years.
I was going to say of all time.
Super Bowl. I didn't know where Kittle ranked all time, but we know at this point Travis passed Gronk as the greatest of all time. Yeah. But where do we put – I mean, you look at a guy like George Kittle, who alongside Travis Kelce revolutionized the tight end position.
Yeah.
Reasons why guys like Brock Bowers is considered a top five pick this year. Guys like Kyle Pitts got drafted as high as he did. Guys like insert here got drafted as high as they get are because of Travis Kelce and George Kittle, and they're going head to head for a second time in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's great. You know, Kittle's a dude too. Like he makes this offense go.
Yeah.
He plays. I mean, essentially, Kittle plays an H-back, and why we're calling it an H-back is because tight end is essentially three positions. You got an inline tight end, and you got a guy in the backfield, and you got a lines up as a wide receiver. And so we call it a tight end, but essentially, like if you talk, well, you know, Stuart, like if you talk to a coach, they really coach the position. So if the guy's lined up beside the tackle, they don't consider him the same position as if a guy's out at the slot. But when it's the same dude, that allows your offense to do so much. When you can move a guy around like that, when you can, you know, get him in the backfield, when you can bring him into motion. And when Kittle goes into motion, you don't know if he's going to, you know, knock a defensive end on his ass, or if he's going to chip him and go out for a pass, or if he's going to come back across the field and run a go route. Like, that's the thing about Kittle. Like, you cannot guess. He's not as specific. Like, he's tough. You know, he wants to play football. That's the biggest thing. So, like, what a great just player to have on your team. Kelce's the same way, too. Like, you know, Kelce, like, now Kelce's to me is more of a thing of, like, just him and Mahomes on the field relationship. is so big because
he was great with Alex Smith too.
No, Kelsey's a great player, but I'm saying like now this version of Kelsey, he's two steps slower, but he knows exactly where to get. Like I don't
a
know
a lot like Gronk at the end of New England. He is a lot like in Tampa Bay.
Yep, he gets. He's not the blocker that Kelsey is or Gronk is, but that's fine. That's not what he's supposed to do in Kansas City. But he knows exactly where Mahomes wants him. He knows exactly, like, within a foot. Like, go back. You look at so many Kelsey catches and how many times the ball slips past the defender because he knows exactly where to sit. But then he always gets he always finds a way to, like, slide and then get another, like, 10 yards after the catch, it seems like. Great, red zone threat. Just two wonderful players. And what I like is they're different players. So we don't have to compare one to another. They're completely different types of players that get the job done. Kittle will more than likely be a huge part of this Super Bowl, in my opinion. I think it's time to lean on dude. He's ready. He's born for this moment. I think you lean on Kittle and McCaffrey and just go after it.
Yeah, please ignore my dog barking in the background. My wife just came home, so if you guys
barely hear it,
please ignore it.
Welcome home, right. Mrs. Booking.
All right, so let's go to the defensive side of the ball now, Jeff. Right. We'll skip the wide receivers. I mean, I think we know.
Yeah,
San Francisco has the advantage, all that kind of stuff. But
I want to say Rice could not be a bigger part of this Super Bowl.
Yes, like, he is.
If the name Rice isn't in the scores, you know, at the end. Kansas City ain't winning this game, but he's played great. He's got better as the second half of the season. Really impressed with the rookie. A lot hinges on this young man.
Yeah, I agree. Let's talk about this defense.
Yes.
When I had you on earlier in the playoffs talking about the Kansas City Chiefs, you were a big fan of Chris Jones.
Oh,
and how he's been playing this year. Chris Jones is going to be the factor on the defense for the 100%. Kansas City Chiefs. I think Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator, has got that defense cooking right now. But I think right now, the guy that if I'm the offensive line coach, if I'm Kyle Shanahan, the guy I've got circled is Chris Jones.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a Chris Jones game. 100% the Chris Jones game. I've said it. I love what he's doing in the passing lanes this year. I think he's had, like we talked about earlier in the week, he's had one of these seasons, like the Aaron Donald season, to where like he's the most impactful player on the field some of these games. Yeah. And he's just done a great job. And this is really good against Purdy. Like you said, this isn't a guy that wants to do a figure eight and get out of the pocket. Like he wants to move around a little bit and get rid of the ball. He gets the hands in the right position, like a la TJ Watt, you know, the best at it as far as just like messing with the quarterback's vision. But he also can just get there and sack, good tackler, just an amazing player. I loved it. I thought 2 years ago, he was the best player on the field, you know, in the playoffs for Kansas City. I think it's close to this way this year. And obviously, he's got to have an impact on the game. Like it's no secret. Somebody's got to get to the quarterback if you want your team to win. So it's obviously we're going to talk about Chris Jones, and I assume you're going to talk about, you know, Bosa or, you know, the boys on the other side of the field.
Yeah, Bosa's great. And the thing was, I always thought Joey was going to be the better prospect coming out, but Nick has turned out to be that way.
Iowa State fans knew that Nick was the better one, and that was not an offense to Joey. Joey would tell you that too, but we all knew that Nick, he shortened that season. He had to go out in a TCU game. We never saw him again, but he was about to probably be a Heisman candidate.
That defensive line is loaded for San Francisco. Don't they have Chase Young too now?
They did pick up Chase Young. He's up and down, but if they can get one of his up games, he's a weapon.
Like, this is a team. Let's talk about that for a minute. This is a team that the last Super Bowl had one of my favorite Colts players, DeForest Buckner. They're not getting him back. Sorry, it ain't happening. They had Eric Armstead. They had this entire defensive line that was really, really good. But to be honest with you, they've missed a lot on the defensive line. They've had guys in Solomon Thomas. They've had guys in others who haven't. Mm-hmm. I think it was Solomon Thomas. But they've had guys in others who haven't done great, Jeff, at the defensive tackle position, at the defensive line position, which is why they've been in the situation where they've been at times where they've been reliant on Nick Bosa to carry them through on the defensive line. But now I think they've done a good job. They brought in Chase Young. They've got some other guys in there. I think they've done a good job at this defense. But that defensive line for years and up until this year, I feel like has really kind of been a downfall of theirs.
Yeah, when they got Chase Young, we thought there was good. It was like, that's it. Like, dude, nobody's going to beat this defensive team. But Chase Young just, you know, I'm sorry, but as a talent, it's, we obviously know it's there. But the screen reloaded. I hope that's not okay. We're good. I thought I was losing my internet. Sorry. But as a talent, yes, he's still a very talented guy. But he's just not getting it football wise. He's not becoming, you know, a dominant player. He's not becoming a better player. You know, it is what it is. But he could have one of those games to where, like, he can play. If he plays a great game, he also can win a game for you. And you know, so San Francisco defensive line. You know, here it's the thing. Here's what we know the defense is going to do. You're playing the Chiefs. You're going to try to get pressure with your defensive line, and you're going to drop as many guys as you can into coverage. It's going to be what Tampa Bay did that year. And now it's whether can you make your tackles, can you break up passes, you know, so on and so forth. So that defensive line, you know, I thought Nick Bosa was probably the MVP of the first Super Bowl these two teams played, except for Mahomes was on the field and they wound up pulling it out. But Nick Bosa was the best player on the field that night. Could he do it again? Absolutely. And a guy on the other side of the ball too, Carl Loftus, great draft pick.
He has played
really well. And he's made Chris Jones, like, you look at how much better Chris Jones has got later in the season because Carl Loftus has learned and stepped it up.
Yeah.
Which is what we just talked about. Young has it. Carl Loftus actually, you know, has more stats than Jones. We know how this works when you're on the other side of a great defensive player. You know, we've seen it since the 86 Giants. You know, it's been like this. But Carl Loftus, big factor in this game. And this is a dude that has proven, like, he's going to be out there and he's going to be effective and he's going to be impactful, you know, play after play. So, Bosa, this isn't a secret. I mean, NFL, it's about, can you pressure with the defensive line so you can drop guys into coverage? Whoever on these defensive lines, both very good, can make plays and disrupt the quarterback and get a swipe sack or whatever. Just like we saw it last year. The difference in that Philadelphia-Kansas City game last year was a strip sack. That was the difference in the game, one play. So whoever makes that play, like, that's probably going to be the game regardless of how good the pretty boys are at quarterback.
I agree. And then a position that's kind of died down, but I think one of my favorites to scout the linebacker position.
Oh, you want to talk about my man.
And I love Fred Warner. Dre Greenlaw has done a great job there.
Yeah.
Kansas City, they've got okay linebackers.
Yeah. That's a good definition.
I want to talk about San Francisco real quick. I'm a sucker, Jay, or Jeff, shall I say. Sorry.
No offense taken.
To remember.
I'm happy to be called Jay.
See, I'm a sucker, Jeff, for a guy like N'Kobe Dean, for a guy like Isaiah Simmons, because I do believe if you can have a linebacker who can cover, it makes the defensive coordinator's life a lot easier.
Yep.
And Isaiah Simmons hasn't been used properly and all those types of things, but Isaiah Simmons is the type of guy, and I'm saying all this to get to where I'm getting to, and N'Kobe Dean, and I think Dre Greenlaw is one of those guys. I think Fred Warner is one of those guys. Ooh. Darius Leonard was one of those guys where you can say, hey, you cover Kelce by yourself. You got him. We'll double team these guys out here, or we'll triple team these guys out here. I don't have to double team Kelce because my linebackers got it.
Yep.
Like, there's very few linebackers in the league that can cover these tight ends. That's why they're as successful as they are. But the game's starting to catch up, and they're starting to make linebackers who can, and these guys are those guys who can – if there's any group that can slow down Kelce, it's this linebacker group. So while, yes, the Urlachers and the Ray Lewis's of the world are a past us, the new school linebacker is the ones who I believe, if done properly and used properly, can change the game in a way that we've not seen, in the way of – they can cover these elite tight ends one-on-one with no help.
Yeah, and you said it earlier when you talked about, I mean, I could go, we could do 45 minutes on Fred Warner, how I think he's my favorite player in the NFL. I think he's, if you grade every position, to me, I think he's the far superior player at his position right now than anybody else, except for Mahomes. Mahomes might be that much farther above quarterbacks,
yes.
But I think that's how much I love Fred Warner. He's smart. His recognition is brilliant. Not to mention, he's another one of these guys from San Francisco that, like, he's got all the mental stuff and the physical stuff. He's the guy that for years we said, if player A had player B's, whatever, they would be this guy. Fred Warner's that guy. He's the scrappy linebacker, but with the skills of like a Simmons or somebody like that. It's unbelievable. And what the key, I'm glad you brought up the linebackers, because here's another key to the game. We talked about Patrick Mahomes, most screen passes by anybody yes. this year.
Like, and you gotta have good linebackers to stop.
And that. Guess what you gotta have to stop screen passes? Linebackers who can get there, who can read it, who can recognize, who can make the tackle and not give up a couple more yards. And you want to talk about San Francisco having that dude? They got, now we know, if we know that, Andy Reid knows that. So you're probably going to see a lot of fake screens, then dumping it over the middle or whatever. But like, if you throw a screen pass against these guys, they will get there. Like Fred Warner, you talk about 52-yard wide field, that dude plays 54. Yeah. So like he tackles to the out of bounds lines, a great player. And you know, Gainwell's an awesome player too. But I think the linebacker, like you want to talk about, you know, the matchup, definitely heavy San Francisco, which is, we just talked about the tight ends. You just said it. What do you need? Linebackers. But Fred Warner is the one guy I really hope, like, I'm not really rooting for anybody, but I want Fred Warner to win a Super Bowl, whatever that means.
Yeah, I got you. And then we'll talk about the coaches. I think we know, obviously, Andy Reid's top three all time. Maybe feels like two, it. Depending on where you want to rank him. I what I love about Andy Reid, and I go back to that Super Bowl versus Philadelphia, there was a pass that I believe they threw to Sky Moore or Isaiah Pacheco. Do not check me on that because I can't remember. But yeah. I remember there was a play where they sent him in motion and he wound up being wide open and Mahomes hit it to him. And yeah. I believe it wound up winning the game or put him ahead or something like that.
Yeah, that was more.
But what he did in that, Jeff, was in that drive, he did that exact same motion three times. You mm-hmm. know how, like, my wife's a math teacher. And the thing with math teachers is they always tell you to check your work. He checked his work three times. Okay, hey, we moved Sky Moore in motion. They didn't move anybody. That's zone coverage. A few plays later, we moved. He didn't move anybody. Still zone coverage when we give him this look. Let's run this again. Third time, hey, they didn't move anybody. We're throwing it to him. He was wide open, walked right into the end zone. Yeah. That's what the elite coaches do, is they're going to say, we're going to give you this look three times. And yeah. if you don't adjust to it, I'm going to burn you with it. And that's exactly what he did to yeah. the Philadelphia Eagles last year. And, you know, there were several times where he used motion to check his work, and it worked, and he wound up scoring off of it. And don't be surprised if he does that again this year.
And something else he did in that game is he uses the exact same thing. And then, like, as a viewer, if you're watching and you see somebody go into motion and a guy follows him, that you're typically, that's telling man, then watch what Kelsey does. Because a lot of times he wants to see what man coverage is and then see if he's got Kelsey one-on-one, typically like a corner route, or, you know, we used to call a post route, or, you know, yeah. flag route, run to the flag, run to the corner, whatever you call it, you know. But so if you see a guy go into motion and somebody follows him, see what the matchup is against Kelsey, because a lot of times they'll take a shot, a mismatch on that play, because, you know, if he's got a, you know, a linebacker or whatever. So then that's where you got a Kelsey Warner matchup, and we're going to find out, you know, man on man who's better. But like, he also did that in the game, used that to get Kelsey open. So and then if they show zone, watch Kelsey, because he typically will sit down and, you know, grab a 7 yard easy yards too. Like, you know, it's no secret. Like, and San Francisco, by the way, runs a ton of motion too.
Yeah.
So they both, that's the NFL now. Everybody yes. does.
I think the thing with it, though, like what separates Andy Reid from it is, like, it could look, and I guess a lot of teams do this, but what I love about Andy Reid is he could run the same play, yep. the same look. It looks like yep. the same play, but yep. there's just a small shift that you don't know. If you're yep. just, if you don't know football, and then he could run the same play three times with one route being different, and that one route would be open.
Yep.
Each time a different route's open, because he just changed everything, but it's the same play. What yep. I love about Kyle Shanahan is, and he gets this from his dad, because his dad was really good at this, is the running game. If you look at yeah. Kyle Shanahan throughout his career, Tevin Coleman's been really, really good for him. Raheem Mostert's been really, really good for him. And now he's got an elite guy and a guy like Christian McCaffrey. What I love about this is His dad was really good with the inside zone and the zone running aspect in this. He kind of
Maybe the
revolutionized.
best we've seen. Maybe the
Yeah.
best we've seen.
Mike Shanahan kind of revolutionized zone run, and so did Kyle
Yep.
Shanahan once he took over. And I think that's what I love about it is he'll use motion to set up the run, where a lot of times you'll see Andy Reid use it to set up the pass. The 49ers are kind of on the other side. They're using motion to, hey, let's send Kittle in motion, and then he's just going to blast this linebacker's head off, and you're going to run in. You're going to run right on his hip, Christian, and you're going to go for 35 yards. Or, hey, let's send Deebo Samuel in motion. Everybody's like, oh, crap, Deebo's in motion. It must be a reverse, and then we're just going to inside zone it over to a guy. Like, it's the creativity in the run game. We talk about creativity and creative play callers like Sean McVay and Shane Steichen and all these guys in the pass game. But for Kyle Shanahan, it's the run game, and he's made a heck of a career off of it. His dad made a heck of a career off of it, and it's something I'm excited to see for him.
Yeah, especially when you got – and then Mitchell's good too for San Francisco. So
yes,
they don't – like it's not – but obviously they need McCaffrey. But the thing is, like, what McCaffrey is so good at running inside the tackles, but it's not straight line running. So it just makes – it makes the linebackers hesitate. The defensive linemen, you know, try to figure things out. It makes everybody hesitate when he's, you know, making a 1 yard cutback and then a 1 yard, you know, juke. Like, and so then when you see that, you can't help but focus, you know, when McCaffrey gets back in the shotgun, you know, that's not typically your best running position, but he makes the most of it because he is so hard to tackle in space. So if he makes any hesitation, that's when you take advantage of those plays like you're talking about. But like about McCaffrey, he keeps the defense honest too. Like he typically doesn't just break it outside. Like he could probably run outside and get 6 yards of carry and get tackled most of the game. But the way he keeps it inside and makes everybody think and, you know, gets those tough yards, then when you get into the red zone, now he's got the choice. We don't know. Like it's a little like Barry Sanders back in the day. We don't know if this guy's going to keep it one way or if he's just going to take off to the outside. So like he also, you know, is a really smart football player, tough football player, keeps things guessing. And also out of the backfield, McCaffrey is one of the best. He's probably the best receiving good running back in the NFL. Like that's, we forget that he's one of the best receivers on the
behind
field.
JT.
Yeah.
Only cause I'm biased.
Well, that's fine. That's what I said. I'd say like, but still like,
better.
You got to keep an eye on him.
Yeah.
Like you can't, like he might have 100 yards receiving. Like he could absolutely have 100
yards. And
30 yards
rushing.
And 30, like they can do that. He's so versatile. And it's another one of these things about like about this matchup. I want this. We talked about it earlier on the show this week. This is one of the best this is one of the most eager we've been to see a running back in a Super Bowl in a long time just to like see what this guy does. So you got so many things on the line. You got like Warner, all the guys that played in the last Super Bowl for San Francisco. You got Purdy constantly trying to shut everyone up. You got CMC trying to prove that he was worth the trade and he's one of the best players in the NFL and all these things. You got Ayuk and Samuel who are just maniacs and just want to win this thing. You know what I mean? Then you got Kansas City. You got Mahomes and Kelce wants to ride out on the white horse. Mahomes wants to prove that he's one of not just the greatest football players of all time. He wants to be up there with Jordan and LeBron. He wants to be like, I know he doesn't say it, but he obviously just like wants to play to get to that point. Andy Reid like wants to stamp himself as like one of the greatest coaches. Shanahan wants to get the monkey off his back. Like, I think this game has way more storylines than people give it credit for.
Yeah.
Obviously you can tell I'm super excited for it. I can't.
And the only
wait.
One that, and what's sad about it is, and I'm not a Chad. I'm not one of those Chads or one of those dads is like, I'm tired of hearing about Taylor Swift. Cause like it is what it is. Let them be happy.
Man.
Who cares? Right.
Who cares?
But where I am a little, where it does bother me a little bit is some of the other storylines about sports that could be taking place are not going to take place. Like the fact of like Kyle Shanahan, there's a lot riding on this Super Bowl for him. The fact that he's 0-2, once as a head coach, once as a coordinator, and you could be 0-3, like, and you're supposed to be a boy wonder, just like Sean McVay was.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot going on there.
And he kind of is, though.
Yeah.
That I just like it. I think these are two really, really good teams. I think it's going to be – here's what I'll say on the other side of, like, people that are anti the Swifties and all that. Here's why I look at it. I love the sport. I love to watch the games. If it brings more eyeballs and yes. any percentage of those eyeballs go, you know what? That was a fun game. That guy's a really good player. Fred Warner's cute. Like, whatever it is. And they come away from the game being like, man, I thought the NFL was one way, but man, I really enjoyed it. And those players were good. And that game was good. If it picks up whatever, 100 fans, it's worth it. And then guys yep. like me and you are going to go nuts, and we're going to turn to our buddies, and we're going to be talking about what they did on third down. We're going to be talking about the motion calls, all these things that a lot of people in the room don't care about and don't make any sense. We're not going to remember the commercials. We're not going to remember halftime. Like, we are going to be breaking down X's and O's, and we're going to love it. And then we're going to have three shows next week.
I can't tell
you
one Super Bowl commercial I remember. I'm going to be honest.
That's what I'm saying.
All right, Jeff, before we go, and before we do our typical, let you plug your show, we're doing a score prediction here, Jeff. To end the super week for the podcast, hey, this is coming out on Friday. Let me say this. You got Saturday to enjoy it, and then you got – it's the big day, all right? The Puppy Bowl. No, I'm just kidding. But, Jeff, I'll let you go first since you're the guest. Who you okay. got? What's the score? We're not only predicting a winner, we're doing a score too.
Okay, this is crazy. Hear me out. I got the Kansas City Chiefs 42-28. And here's why. I think that it's going to be a 7-point game really, 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 really late. And I think there's going to be the Kansas City is going to get an extra touchdown because it's the Super Bowl. It might be they run it in instead of kneel on it, or they might get a pick six on the final drive. I think it's going to be a great game. That's going to be a 14-point victory. But we're going to remember that as, man, Patrick Mahomes. Here's what I know the Chiefs aren't going to do. They are not going to lose this game and not let Patrick Mahomes throw the ball. They are not going to go down like the Baltimore Ravens did 2 weeks ago and not let their give their best player the chance to win. Like, they're going to be like they're going to feel silly if they come out with a running attack and then get beat by three. Like, no.
Yeah.
So that's why I think the Chiefs are going to put up big offensive numbers. I don't really think either team's better than the other one. I just think that there's going to be some crazy play and they're going to win by 14. And we're all going to be like, man, that was a lot closer than it looked.
Yeah, I agree. And my final score prediction is actually a little closer than that. And I'm actually going not as high scoring. I'm going to go 27-24.
Ooh, I hope so.
Who am I going?
Kansas City. You got to say Kansas City. And we're all going to be wrong.
Hey, that means on Monday, the conversation we have on Monday is going to be a lot different, right? Like,
yeah. We talked about it, though. The Super Bowl is a different animal. Like, don't worry. Yeah. It doesn't matter what you saw all year. These are two entirely different teams when this game
kicks
off.
Nick Foles was about to retire and then dethrone the GOAT. So,
yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, we have no idea what's going to happen.
27-24 Kansas City, 42-28 Kansas City for Jeff. That's what his score prediction was. Jeff, before we go, let people know where they can find you, what you're working on, all that good jazz. And, of course, you're going to be back for the quarterback countdown later this summer, if not before.
Yeah. Yeah. You can all find me, at the X or at JHunt006. Go check out Jeff Needs Sports. We did a couple Super Bowl shows this week. We'll probably do some stuff this weekend. Most importantly, check out the Off the Ball Network. Go subscribe to the YouTube page. You know, check out our Twitter and all that and keep up with what we're all doing, because as a volume, we're, the group, Stuart, me, Kev, Prez, Mo, everybody's putting out Ken, putting out a ton of great content right now. So just follow the YouTube channel, comment, like, give us ideas, everything. We really appreciate it. Stu, I appreciate you having me on for Super Week. It's been a great time, man. Happy Super Bowl, everybody. And just watch the game. Like, just try to watch the game in a vacuum and put everything aside for a few minutes. You'd be surprised how entertaining it'll be.
And if you're there for Usher, go in the other room. Nobody cares. I'm just
kidding. I'll be watching some Usher.
If you're there for Usher or the Budweiser Clydesdales, go in the other room. I care about the game between the 52 and a half yard field. All right. That's what I care about. Hey, I'm just kidding.
If somebody at your party knows the field's 52 and a half yards wide, you in trouble. But hey, I love
big
y'all.
Thank you. Big thank you to Jeff Hunt for doing this. It's been a heck of a Super Bowl week. A lot of fun shows, a lot of fun things. I want to do more like this. We will. Hey, if you like this show, please share it with everyone you know. Spam it in their DMs, their emails. You know the old, you know what I say. You know how it goes. Have a good day, good night, good afternoon. Whatever it is, you have a good one. And we will see you next week.